From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our Week in Review, where we talk about stories making headlines across the 21st state. Today, we're focusing on the communities of Springfield and those in the Metro East, the Illinois side of St. Louis. But first, I want to update two stories we have talked about on past Friday roundups. Yesterday, the man who carried out the mass shooting at the Independence Day Parade in Highland Park, Illinois, in 2022, was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Robert Cremo III was given 7 consecutive life sentences, as well as 50 years for 48 counts of attempted murder. He was not present for the hearing and did not give a statement through his legal representation. In total, 7 people were killed, 48 others were injured at that parade. I also want to update a story we talked about just last week. Hundreds of college students across the country who had their visas revoked won a temporary victory, at least. A federal judge in Georgia has ordered the Trump administration to reinstate the visas of students who have sued over this. ABC Chicago reported that the lawsuit included students from the University of Illinois and Western Illinois University, among others. And with that, we turn back to our roundtable. We're joined this week by Dean Olson, senior reporter at Illinois Times. Dean, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Will Bauer, Metro East reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Will, welcome back to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Dean, I'm going to start with you, and I want to talk about an update to the location of sticking with court news, I guess, the trial of former Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson. What's going on there?
Well, a few weeks ago, the judge in the case in Sangamon County decided, based on the requests of the defense, to move that trial to Peoria, about an hour and a half drive north of Springfield. Mainly because of pretrial publicity, and that was not opposed by the prosecution. It will be the same lawyers in the case and the same defense attorneys, same prosecutors, same judge, but it'll be a different jury. It will be of registered voters from Peoria County. And the family of Sonia Massey was okay with that. They just want to make sure they believe this guy will be convicted, and they don't want it overturned on appeal based on an improper jury pool. The trial was recently set to begin on October 20th of this year, and that's like a lightning pace for a murder trial. This tragedy happened in a rural area, an unincorporated area, a few blocks outside of Springfield in July of last year. And to have a murder trial happen within a little over a year is kind of miraculous. I think there's an urgency of all involved to be fair in the case, but to get a disposition on it, because it has caused a lot of unrest in the community, prompted a lot of legitimate discussions about racial tension here and policing. But that's what's going on with that case.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will continue to update our listeners on that as it progresses. There's another case involving law enforcement in Springfield, and that involved 4 police officers, 4 Springfield City police officers who were disciplined following an investigation into how they handled a drunk driving crash involving a former, I guess I should say, alleged drunk driving crash involving a former Springfield police officer who had just retired. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, just a little while ago in the city of Springfield, this kind of goes into the ongoing debate here on fair policing, but there's a Springfield City police officer who retired. His name is Michael Egan. He was 51 at the time, and the day he retired, he was heading to his retirement party at a boathouse tavern on Lake Springfield, and apparently had been drinking in the hours ahead of that, allegedly. And he turned into the drive going into this boathouse tavern and collided with a motorcycle carrying 2 people. This was in the early evening. The 2 people on the cycle were severely injured. One probably has life-altering injuries, and he has been charged with felony DUI and is awaiting trial. But the four officers who were managing the scene have been disciplined for improperly managing the scene, and one of them served an was given an unpaid suspension. The rest had more minor infractions that are listed in their record, but it's unclear whether the discipline indicated that they were giving preferential treatment to Michael Egan. There were people on the scene who were shooting video and said that they were upset because he was allowed to walk around the scene and wasn't kept in the back of a squad car. And he was given water, not by the police, but by some onlookers. And that caused a lot of debate, and it led to a protest a few days later out in front of City Hall. So they have been disciplined, but it's not clear whether they really gave any preferential treatment to him. In fact, a report that came out with the discipline said that even if somebody is drinking water after a DUI, it doesn't really affect their level of blood alcohol. And for Michael Egan, the police chief said he had double the legal limit of alcohol in his system. So as that case proceeds, these disciplines were handed out. And I think the family members and some of the critics thought it was not enough. But that case is now behind the Springfield City Police Department.
Yeah, interesting. I guess that's a sort of urban legend that you could affect a blood alcohol test by drinking a lot of water. All right, Will Bauer from KWMU, St. Louis Public Radio. Let me come to you, and we'll move to the Metro East, although stick with courthouse news. There's a lawsuit involving a Metro East coal plant and an environmental group. It was recently dismissed. What was the case about, and what led to that dismissal?
So the lawsuit from the Sierra Club, the environmental group, was filed back in 2023, and they had alleged that Prairie State Generating Company's coal plant in Washington County, which is about 45 miles southeast of St. Louis, didn't ever get an operating permit from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, which is a requirement under the Federal Clean Air Act. And so the Sierra Club, when they initially had filed this suit, had asked for Prairie State to shut down. But last summer, the federal judge in Southern Illinois had said, you know, I'm not going to do that. That would be pretty extraordinary. This is a publicly owned coal plant. A lot of people in Illinois and seven other Midwest states rely on this, but we're going to let the lawsuit continue to move forward. And so after some legal back and forth, the Illinois Pollution Control Board got involved, and they asked the Illinois EPA to draft an operating permit or deny Prairie State this operating permit. And so Prairie State did submit an updated application earlier this year, and they're still awaiting a decision from Illinois EPA. But this is kind of when the Sierra Club said, okay, this is pretty much, you know, what we have wanted to happen all along. We don't need to continue. So last week, lawyers from both the Sierra Club and the lawyers representing Prairie State Generating Company moved to dismiss the suit, and the judge approved. So we've not heard anything from the Illinois EPA about that permit, and I guess we'll be waiting to see what the state agency makes on that decision.
All right, well, we'll continue to follow that story. Another story in the Metro East involves, and I guess we're moving over to education now, a high school that might have to change its mascot. What's the story there?
Yeah, so this bill that is moving through the state legislature is kind of a baby of the, you guys might be aware of the bill that would be moving through the state legislature in regard to Native American and Indigenous mascots and logos. And this bill was kind of born out of that. And it was, and that bill and this bill are authored by Representative Maurice West, a Rockford area Democrat. And in discussion about Native American and Indigenous mascots, it also came up that Freeburg High School, which is a small town here in St. Clair County in the Metro East, kind of on the edge of it, they've been known for 90 years as the Midgets. And basically, this bill would require that mascots and logos that make reference to disabilities that are deemed to be offensive change by 2028. And this is the only high school or school in the state that is kind of that would be affected by this bill. So it's moved through the House, and it's currently in the Senate waiting to be signed to a relevant committee. But proponents of this bill say, you know, the term midgets is outdated and offensive. One of the big groups backing this is called Mascots Matter, and it's largely made up of little people who have dwarfism, or parents of kids that have dwarfism, and they say that the term is a slur and it's dehumanizing. But locals who would defend the mascot, you know, say it's not intended to be offensive. The term actually came from the high school's basketball team 90 years ago, and the tallest player on that team was 5'10", you know, pretty short for a basketball team. And they were underdogs in a game that they shouldn't have won, but they beat an unbeaten team, and the local sports writers started calling them the midgets, and the name just stuck. So, you know, they have a lot of pride in this nickname, and they believe, you know, it's a local issue and it should be the local school board. If anyone, any body is making a decision on the mascot, it should be the local school board, and it's not a state issue. But I guess the Illinois House of Representatives feels otherwise. And yeah, like I said, the Senate is now considering it, and we'll wait to see if they make any move on it.
Context matters. It's interesting. I'm glad you had the backstory, because I was wondering, you know, it's certainly a far cry from, you know, Spartans or Trojans and the sort of mighty high school symbols that are often chosen. But I guess, like you said, it was a nickname given to them. All right. Well, let me, Dean Olson, let me come back to you. We only have about 4 minutes left in our time together, but let's talk about downtown Springfield, because, you know, there was a major fire last year. The Wyndham Hotel had this seeming potential act of vandalism where there was flooding down the elevator shafts, and it was basically closed. You know, it's been a long time decline in state office jobs. I know one of the nice restaurants downtown right across from the governor's mansion, Lukanen's, just announced it was closing. Talk about what is happening there. There's a move to get more people working downtown. There was a big meeting recently. Just what is going on with downtown Springfield? Why is it struggling so much?
Well, a couple things that, like you mentioned, Brian, have just happened, and it's not good timing because the 100th anniversary of Route 66 is next year, and that's expected to bring an even bigger flood of international visitors and visitors from all over the country through Springfield. Route 66 brings some of the biggest supply of visitors to Springfield. And it's not a good time. Also, we're having a big sports complex that's being built off the one of the interstates in Springfield, and they need hotels. So the problem with the Wyndham is a big problem. It's a 30-story building, and it's unclear what exactly caused this leak that damaged the building. It's the infrastructure of the building is in trouble. The owner of the building has been at odds with the city council on giving him zoning approval to renovate the building and convert it to apartments, as well as renovate the hotel part. So there's a master plan that was recently created by the Housel Levine consulting firm from Chicago, and it was presented as a master plan for the downtown and the medical district, which is the Mid-Illinois Medical District is right next to downtown. And that's going to be used to market downtown more. And there's been a series of meetings. There's going to be another meeting May 10th at the Kidzium downtown. So there's a lot of concern about getting more people downtown as Amazon has taken away the shopping experiences. Downtowns are known for helping to attract people, firms, visitors, conventioners. There is a positive sign because Chris Stone, an area developer, has proposed an $11 million redevelopment of the old AT&T building for offices. For a government agency, it's suspected that will be a state agency that could move more state workers back downtown. He hasn't confirmed that, but that's going through the process to get TIF funds to renovate that. So that's viewed as a positive move, but that's still a struggle for the downtown in Springfield.
Yeah, and also a struggle that the state workforce is just not what it was a couple of decades ago, and even more so now with so many people working remotely. All right, Will Bauer, just about less than a minute left, unfortunately, but I do want to talk about a food pantry in East St. Louis. You know, we've talked a number of times about how federal cuts in the federal government spending are trickling down to Illinois. This food pantry is feeling that. What's happening there?
Yeah, so before Senator Durbin made headlines for other reasons, he got plenty of questions about his reelection, though, at this event. But he was back in his hometown in East St. Louis at the start of last week. And basically, the East St. Louis food pantry, the Leslie Bates Davis neighborhood food pantry, was already noticing that a Trump administration cut was affecting the amount of fresh produce that they were getting. So maybe really quick, the Local Food Purchase Assistance Cooperative Agreement Program, that's a mouthful, but that's the one that would have been helping them through a bureaucratic process deliver between 12 to 13 pallets of fresh produce to this food pantry. And they're noticing now that it's 4 to 5. So Senator Durbin and the food pantry leaders were there to just say, hey, you know, we really appreciated this program. It's going to be tough. Our shelves are going to be a little more barren without it.
Yeah, yet another effect of what's happening in Washington here in Illinois. All right, Will Bauer with KWMU, St. Louis Public Radio, Dean Olson with Illinois Times. Thank you for sharing your reporting with us. When we come back, we will be talking about Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, who says he is going to be retiring at the end of this term. This is the 21st Show.